servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me.
Welcome to a life-changing encounter with the Word of God presented to you by the Macarius Church Headquarters. This great teaching provides clear and straightforward answers for anyone desiring to walk according to the Word of God. Enjoy some of the most comprehensive and down-to-earth teachings as taught at the Macarius Church Headquarters.
I am listening, I am waiting, speak to me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you look for three people and tell them, today I'll be more blessed than you. Three people. Some of you are not moving. Look for three people and tell them, today I will be more blessed than you. Amen and amen. Wait. Some of you, you're just standing there like trees. I want you to move around and tell somebody, today, tell them, today, I'll be more blessed than you. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give Jesus a better shout of praise? That is for your uncle in America. For Jesus. I'm still not convinced. For Jesus. Tell your neighbor, you have tried. Now, if you really, really love Jesus, why don't you give him a better shout of praise? Amen. Wow. I want to really thank my friend and my brother and many things in Bishop Eddie Adi for having me in this quintessential, modern, futuristic, state of the art, avant-garde, cosmopolitan cathedral. Come on, let's appreciate Bishop Eddie. Amen. I think you have one of the most amazing pastor. Amen. So nice. So sweet. Amen. Somebody who makes you feel comfortable. Yeah, when I'm with him, I mean, I can laugh. I laugh my ribs off. So what an amazing man of God. Bishop, we love you. We appreciate you. And thank you for being my friend. Amen. And thank you for bringing me and taking me to Takrade. The only thing that they didn't do for me, they didn't give me oil. And then you took me to Takwa. They didn't give me gold. So I'm hoping by the end of next week, they will bring some small gold for me. Amen. But I have never been to Takrade or Takarade. And I've never been to Ta'akwa. But I'm thanking God for you for taking me there. Amen. Hallelujah. And I also want to thank God for all the pastors, the bishops, the leaders that keep helping and serving in the church. Let's appreciate them well. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, our Father Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah. We love him. What an amazing man of God. He has, I mean, if it were not for him, I would not be here today. Amen. And so we really want to thank God for them. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this great opportunity that you have given to us to be here, to hear your word in He gave gifts unto men. I pray that, Lord, you use me to be a gift to this wonderful, wonderful congregation. my brothers and sisters here in Accra. Thank you, Father. We pray for your spirit of understanding, that everyone will understand and everyone will be changed by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. When you are told and everybody said, you say what? And everybody said, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wonderful. The building is arriving now. I think it has just landed from Kenya. I think now it is even looking nicer than this, but we thank God. Amen. I feel like I'm so far. So can I come closer? We no longer say, can I come down? Because I can never go down. So we only say, can I come closer? Amen. I refuse to go down. Tell your neighbor, I refuse to go down. I hope you're going to preach with me, because I don't like the way you are telling your neighbor. So tell your neighbor, I refuse to go down. I will never go down. It shall never be me. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm just going to share with you shortly on a very simple message. And the message is entitled, How to Recognize a Fool. How to Recognize a Fool. So today, I'm not laying hands on anybody. Because some of you, the problem you have is not demons. It's foolishness. So I don't know whether I'm in the right place. Some of you, I can see your faces. You already say he has come all the way to abuse us. You know, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So what that scripture is telling you is that your blessedness is tied to the person you walk with, the person you stand with, and the person you sit with. Alright? Now, if you can change the people you walk with, and the people you stand with, and the people you sit with, you will change your life. So sometimes we can lay hands on you, we can dip you in a drum full of, do you have drums?
Yes. Yes.
Drum full of oil,
of Kenyan oil.
But even from Israel, we can dip you in an oil from Israel, special oil. But then you go back and you are hanging around fools. And your life can never change, because your blessedness is determined by who you walk with, who you stand with, and who you sit with. I'll finish preaching. We can go. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, 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 I'm changing. I'm changing my friends. I'm changing you. If you don't change you. Hey, now sit down. Let's see the type of blessedness that is available for us. Yeah. So you can, your life can change. All right. Your life can change when you change the people around you. Oh yeah. Remember the man who was a leper
He was leprous. I think he was either leper or he was just, he could not move. And he had four friends that carried him to Jesus. And the four friends found that the house was full. And they climbed on top of the roof. And then removed the roof. And then dropped the man. That shows you that this man, his greatest blessing was his friends. Because his friends, even though he could not walk, his friends could walk. Unfortunately, you can't walk and your friends can't walk. You are poor and your friends are also poor. I think we should go, Bishop. These people, are you listening to me at the back? So, can you imagine friends who can decide, look, our friend must walk. So they decide, because they would have come and say, oh, Charlie, the place is full. Let's try another day. And they would have left. But they said, no. We are tired of carrying you. You must also become rich. We are tired of giving you handouts. We are tired of you feeling bad about our marriage. You must also get married. We are tired of you asking us to pray for you. You must learn how to pray. Hello? So your blessedness is determined by the kind of friends you have. So in Psalms chapter number 1, verse 2, what does it say? But his delight, the delight of this man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Alright? I'll show you why verse 2 is important. Then this is the blessedness. This man who chooses who he walks with, who he stands with, and who he sits with. The Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the Bible says that bringeth forth his fruits in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now this person doesn't matter which economy he's in. It doesn't matter which country he's in. Just by choosing his friends right, the Bible says that this man, it doesn't matter where he is, he's like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. So it doesn't matter which economy, who's the president, whether it is from your tribe, whether it is from your region, it doesn't matter. This man who meditates on the word of God day and night, this man, he shall be like a tree. And then the end of this man is prosperity. He shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Alright? The Bible says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the scriptures have the ability to make you wise. Alright? Yes. The scriptures, there is something about people who are really planted in the church and who are ardent students of the scripture, who love preaching, who love listening to the word, who love reading the Bible, who love reading books. Those people, the Bible says, they are made wise. Alright? So that even tells you, if you don't love those things, if you don't love the scriptures, you don't love conference, you don't love, any weekly meetings, podcasts, then you are in the other class of a fool. Oh,
yes. I said, oh yes.
Look at Proverbs chapter 19. I'm just laying a foundation. Today I'm giving you that key of recognizing, and then tomorrow I'll give you another key. Alright? So today, I'm giving you this key of recognizing fools, so that you recognize the fool in you and the fool around you. So you can decide, I want to change the fool in me and I want to change the fools around me. So Proverbs 19 verse 8, I hope I can speak like freely. Can I speak freely? The Bible says, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. So, it is not the change of government that brings goodness in your life. It is not even going to school that brings goodness in your life. It is not even getting a lot of money that makes you good. It is wisdom that changes your life. So if you are devoid of wisdom, you are devoid of good things. That is why the Bible says, a foolish woman with her own hands, she tears down her own house. The Bible also teaches us that by wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is filled with many treasures. I paraphrase. So can I continue, or you are tired of me? So now listen, if you are writing down, the wise recognize fools. The wise recognize fools. Fools are everywhere. Fools are where? Everywhere. Fools, they dress well. Oh yes. Sometimes they dress well, they look good, they even speak English. Fools are everywhere. There are fools in educational institutions. There are fools in the world of religion. Even in a church like this, there will be fools. I don't think you are ready for me. Are you ready for me? Oh yes, even in church we have fools. Oh yes, we have fools in political arenas. Even amongst our relatives we have fools. Now listen to me, fools are dangerous because fools break your focus. If you are a friend of a fool, they will break your focus. You could be so focused. You are focused to have a bar center. You are focused to build a marriage. You are focused to build a business. You are focused to build your life. But by the entrance of a fool, you will break your focus. And all of a sudden, somebody who had so much hope, so much future, so much potential, they stop having it because of the entrance of a fool into their lives. Now, instead of building a bar center or building a church, now you're out partying. Or now you're pregnant. Out of wedlock. Hey. Because a fool entered your life, and he or she broke your focus. Now, fools waste valuable time. Valuable time and great potential and energy. When a fool enters your life, no matter how potential you are, they will waste you. If you hire a fool and your company had great potential, it just become wasted. When a fool comes into your life, they waste your time. They waste your time because all they send you are jokes. forwards, gossip, discussing boys and girls, they are breaking your focus and wasting your time and your energy. Oh yes. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I don't like fools anymore. I don't. Fools slow down your life. You might have been on a cruise, man. You are moving. You are going. You are going somewhere to happen. But a fool enters your life and all of a sudden breaks. You are moving. You are going places. Everybody was saying, my God, this guy will be the next Benihim. This guy will be the next Dangote. This guy will be the next Bill Gates. But then a fool enters your life and all of a sudden breaks. And then change of focus. Another direction. Hey, if I were you, I would say, I hate fools. I don't like them at all. So if I was a devil, you know, I would not bother to come to you in the night and whatever. I just send a fool into your direction. So a lot of people are blaming Satan. And they're busy, you know, praying and saying, Kaba, Maka. And the devil is out there. You know, one time, Jesus met Satan outside the church. And he asked Satan, why are you so sad? And he says, your people. Then he said, what have they done? He said, everything, it's me. He said, it's not everything that is me. Some of us, it is fools that you have allowed in your life. Or you have become a fool. Now listen, fools rob you your precious moments. They rob you your precious moments. That is, I wanted you to feel angry about fools. So that I can give you 43 facts about fools. But I'll only give you 3 because you look tired. I have 43 facts that you should know about fools. But I'll give you 3. Then we can go home and sleep. So number 1, the first fact you should know about a fool is, a fool is anyone who despises wisdom, instructions, and correction from a proven mentor. A fool is anyone who despises wisdom, instruction, and correction from a proven mentor. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. A fool is anyone who despises... Well, you don't see wisdom anywhere. If you're given advice, you say, you just despise it. So the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, come on everybody, are you reading with me? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, but what do they do? They despise wisdom and instructions. That is why a fool will never take notes. Because they are not seeing any wisdom. A fool will be offended that they have been corrected. When you are corrected, you say, this is too much correction. Aquaba. I don't know. Hey! A fool is anyone who despises wisdom, instruction. When you keep asking, why are they always asking us to listen to podcasts? Because you don't see it as a wisdom. You despise it. Do we have to always listen to podcasts? What is this podcast? All this time, podcast. You despise it. When you are told, come, we have a Bible study. We have a service on this day. You say, Charlie, all the time charge. Too much charge. A fool despises wisdom, instruction, and correction. If you correct them, they get angry. It is not because they are bad people, they are just fools. Number two, because of time. A fool is anyone who attempts. I hope you can hear me. I want you to take what I'm telling you serious. Because today we are not praying for you. You are removing foolishness from your life. And that will be a huge deliverance. Both you and your friends. If you realize that your friend is always offended when they are corrected, always offended, does not like coming to church. They call you and say, are you going to Higam? Because me, I'm not. Then you know, I'm in the presence of a fool. My best friend is a fool. Oh, my wife is a fool. Number two. If you have not found yourself, you are about to find yourself. Don't worry. I told you they are 43. A fool is anyone who attempts to destroy the reputation of a proven champion through lying and misrepresentation. I will repeat. A fool is anyone who attempts to destroy the reputation of a proven champion through lying and misrepresentation. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18. Anybody who loves to slander. Hello? Come on, wave at me. Anybody who loves to what? Slander. Bishop Eddie. Have you seen? It's like, he's like this. He never adds weight. Anyway, you just say things that are slanderous. Things that are pulling down a great man. Misrepresenting a great man. Saying things that are lies about a great man. Smearing mud on a great man's name. The Bible says that that person who does that is a fool. If you follow them on Facebook, on TikTok, you are following a fool. And they don't have to even spoil the name of church people. Even another successful man. They lie, oh no, the car. Oh, this one is a 411. Oh, this one is a 144. I don't know which one it is. 419. Oh, this one. You're just trying to diminish and to spoil the reputation of a proven champion. The Bible says that that person is a fool. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a what? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Change the version. New Living or something. Let's look at it from another version. Hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. If you have a friend who always calls you to gossip, to tell you about others, to smear mud and pieces on somebody's reputation, don't listen to that person for one more second. Why? Because you are in the presence of a fool. And if you are the one that likes doing it, stop doing it because you are a fool. We are happy in the church. Then you start stories to spoil other proven champions. Hey, your house, it doesn't even have a fridge. And even in the fridge, it is empty. And you are slandering people that have made church what it is today. What kind of a man are you? What kind of a woman? Hey. Number three, the last one. No, your money's finished. Your money's finished. Number three, a fool, somebody, or should I change my message? A fool is anyone who refuses to depart from evil, even though they have been corrected. A fool is anybody who refuses to depart from evil. Oh, Pastor. This boyfriend, he's Muslim, but let me tell you, Pastor, I love him. Even when I think about him, I feel goosebumps. And you are a Christian. You are even in the choir. And your pastor has been telling you, stop it. Stop it. And you keep on going and going. And you are going deeper. Deeper. Say stop, but you're saying I'm going deeper and higher. Hey, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor you are a fool if you can't stop after you have been corrected. You are what? You are a hey. I know what you're trying to do. Proverbs, sit down. Proverbs 13 verse 19. Tomorrow. Today I want to deal with fools. I need you to lift up your hand and say, I'm no longer a fool. Even the way you are saying it, I don't like it. Say, I am no longer a fool. Any foolishness in me, I bind you, I uproot you, I remove you, and I kick you to Kalahari Desert. Hey! Brother, what you are doing is wrong. Stop it! You say, hey. When the girl calls me and says, Honey. After tonight, you are going to look at that honey and say, I'm no longer a friend of a fool. I'm no longer a fool. I'm not going to go deeper. A fool is anyone who refuses to depart from evil, even though they have been corrected. Look at Proverbs 13. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. To depart from evil, for a fool, it's an abomination. Yeah. Somebody say, yeah. Yeah. Number four. For the money you have added, I'm just giving you. Say, I'm no longer a fool. A fool is anyone who does not take the danger of sin seriously. A fool is anyone who does not take the danger of sin seriously. Proverbs 14 verse 9. It says, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Fools make a mock. Like when you tell them, this is bad, they say, oh no. Even Paul says that you should take a little bit of wine. It's like you have a stomach problem. A fool is anyone who does not take the danger of sin seriously. Oh, we must talk. We must say this. We must do this. I don't have to honor any man. I mean, sin to you, you mock. You mock. You sin, you enjoy it. The Bible calls you a fool. Number five. Is it number four or number five? How did we get to number five? Did you add something? All right. You know, wise people like to hear God's word. If I'm talking to you and you're wise, you're feeling, this is blessing me. If you're a fool, you're saying, why is he saying these things? I don't know even why you're here. Because the people here, I believe, are wise people. Glory to God. The Bible says, a fool is anyone who reveals confidence that should be kept private. Anybody who reveals confidence that it should be kept private is a fool. You see, you're in the presence of Bishop Eddie, our pastor, and he's talking to you about something to do with the ministry or a brother who needs help and whatever. And while he's talking to you, you are even chatting the brother. He's even talking to me about you. He's even saying this about you. You are a fool. If you are a shepherd and your sheep has come to tell you something so that you can help them, and then you are now with other sisters and you're telling, you see that girl? Let me tell you. She's not as she seems. Oh yeah, she has slept with that brother and that brother and that brother. You are a fool. It was a mistake to make you a shepherd. We made a shepherd of a fool. Proverbs 14 verse 33. Oh yes. Tell your neighbor, you cannot be a blabbermouth. A blabbermouth. Isn't it? The Bible says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. So it is wisdom to know what to say and what not to say. So the Bible says that wisdom resteth in the hearts of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the... We don't have to tell you, don't tell anybody. Don't tell any. Like, you are such a fool that when we share something with you, we have to explain to you. Don't tell anyone yet. Yeah. But a wise man, even, yeah, a disclaimer. A wise man, when we are talking, you know, this is for saying, this one is for keeping. Can you give me another version? Another version to help the guys understand. New Living Translation. Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools. That is what it means. That somebody who is always talking cannot be found to be wise. Hey, look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, no. I can never be a fool again. Say, I bind the foolish spirit. Say, I come out of the foolish group. So how do you know your friend is a fool? When he starts talking to you about others, then you know that you're in the midst of a fool and he's going to tell others about you. Some of the people who destroy churches are gossipers. Gossipers are fools. Because a gossiper cannot keep quiet. You say, hey, brother, look for me on Tuesday. I have hot news. Hey. Number six. A fool is any son that disregards the wisdom of his father. Any son that disregards the wisdom of his father is a fool. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. A fool is any son that disregards the wisdom of his father. Now we have biological fathers. We have spiritual fathers. And all of them will give you advice. But the son that disregards the wisdom, especially of a spiritual father, because a biological father can give you a worldly counsel that is not of God. You know, like a father would tell you, you don't have to do a wedding. Just take the woman and start living with him. I know fathers who have told their children that. Yeah, or make her pregnant first so that you know if she can bear children. Whether the womb is fertile. Hey. But the Bible says a fool despises his father's instruction. You see, your many wonderful pastors, they don't even tell you they're advising you. They just say, I think you should not do this. I think you should come. But when you are a fool, you would think that it is a suggestion. And you will despise the advice of your father. And the Bible says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Your father can even tell you, your spiritual father can tell you, leave that lady alone. Or the lady can be told, but he will be saying, oh, Bishop. He's nice, so. Oh, Bishop. He's nice. Hey. And you despise his wisdom. I have seen so many people in my life that I said, you should consider this relationship. Consider. Think about it. It's not, I don't see like it's nice. Because sometimes we don't want to tell you direct. Because you'll start saying these people, they want to control how you even. Blah, 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 blah. You see, a fool, that's how they talk. Oh, they want to control us. They even want us to decide who is going to marry us. Blah, blah, blah. So we have now decided when we are dealing with fools, we'd be wise. We give suggestions. You tell you, I don't think you should be with this lady. But anyway, your decision is my decision. Somebody's got to say, I'm no longer a fool. Say, I will never be a fool again. Say, I cast out the foolishness in me. From today, I love the words of my father. I enjoy the words of my father. I listen to the counsel of my father. I hear the word. I love the word. I enjoy the word. I enjoy my father's counsel. Somebody needs to shout amen. Wow. Touch your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. Neighbor. Don't despise the wisdom of your father. The counsel of your father. And your pastor becomes like a father to you. Oh yes. He becomes like a father to you. And the preaching is the counsel. And the preaching is the instructions. So while he's preaching to you, you see, I am where I am today because of the counsel of the prophet. Oh yes. Let me tell you, I don't pray like some of you pray. Some of you go 51 days to hear the Lord. Oh, they are not here. You are not. 40 days and 40 nights. Your pastor has given you a suggestion or preached to you or told you, listen, do try and do this. And then you say, I will pray about it. A wise person must know that what that man has said is what God is telling me. Oh, yeah. I was one time we were in South Korea with the prophet. Look, our church was in a nice tent. Oh, do you understand tents? I don't know whether you understand tents in this country. You look like you all have buildings in this country. But anyway, yeah, tents. We were in a nice tent. We had spent a lot of money on the tent. We were renting the land where we had put the tent. And Mondays, pastors would come. Mondays, pastors from other places, and they would come and just look at my tent and say, wah, 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 wah. Man, God is with you. You see the type of friends I'm talking about. You are in a tent and they're saying God is with you. I don't know whether I should continue this story. Are you sure you want to hear my story? So we went out for tea break during the Yonggi Cho's meeting, the late Dr. Cho. And I was feeling, you know, because when you are around people who are under you, and they have made you look like you're driving a bit, and now you're with somebody with an Okada. Do you understand? And they say, wow, sister, your car. Yeah. God has done you well. He has done me well. He has done you well. They are even dancing around your car. When you meet people, you think you are a very highly achieved person. Because look, somebody with an Okada feels like you are the Don Capocias of Toyota Vitz. I'm talking about, you know, Toyota Vitz, when you buy it, they don't give you a logbook, they give you a receipt. They say, you see, this car, there is no logbook for this car. When others are driving their car to the car wash, do you have a car wash here where they wash cars? You take your car to the sink and you start cleaning it. But an Okada man is just dancing for you and say, hey! Do you understand receipts?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have logbooks?
Yeah.
You don't have logbooks. What you get from there?
Yeah.
They give you a logbook when you register the car. Yeah. So for these guys, they give you receipts. They say, if they ask you, just show them. You are received. So now I was like the Vitz guy in Korea. So, and then I was now standing with a great man, Archbishop. So I was even pocketing and I was saying, Bishop. My foolishness had come. I said, Bishop, you know, we just put up a tent. And my God. But I noticed something. As I was talking, everybody, Bishop in Dafu, I don't know who, they were all quiet. So I thought my story is interesting. I think they knew what is about to come down on me. When I finished, Bishop asked me, why do Kenyans love being in tents? What? I said, he said, Jimmy. He didn't even call me pastor, reverend. He said, Jimmy, you should go and build. And I was like, wait a minute. Where the tent is sitting is not ours. I didn't tell him, I was speaking to my heart. It's not even ours, it's rented. But guess what? I didn't pray about it. I didn't even go and ask God, now do you want me to buy land? I took it like this man of God who has become a father to me has told me, go and build. Not even go and buy land. So when I got home, I think it was around October. The church growth is possible around October. So November, I was just praying, Lord, give us land. I didn't go to ask, Lord, is it your will that we should buy land? Oh, God. No. That same year, I say, God has spoken to me. I cannot be in a rented place. And I was kneeling down in my room, my prayer room. And I was telling God, give us land. And my phone rang. Ding, ding. Like text message. When I checked, somebody was saying, Pastor, there is this land that you should come and see. I said, where? He said, this place. How much? They said, $600,000. I said, let's meet there. And I had zero. When I entered the compound, the Holy Spirit said, this is it. Oh, yes. That was 2011. We started negotiating with zero. Because if you are wise, you will not despise the words of your father. So many of you have been wasting time saying, I'm praying about it. If your father has said, don't do this, just stop praying. Just go, even if you're praying. I don't even know if you're praying or you're just using the word I'm praying about it so that you can despise the words of your father. Oh, yes. So, 2012, we were negotiating and whatever. At one point, I was negotiating with the owner of the land who was an Indian. And he laughed at me. He said, you are a joker. You don't have money. When he said that, I said, okay. Then find somebody else to buy. As I was walking, and I had zero. As I was walking out, he said, no, Pastor, I'm sorry. Sit down. I said, because of what you have said, I'm going to buy for this much. From 60 million to 44. I landed at 44 and said, I'm not moving. And he said, okay. Yeah, and I'm still at zero. Then in March of 2012, before March, I was even now organizing my trip to America to see whether I can talk to my friends to raise more money, whatever. I raised in between December and January, I raised 10%. And then now I believed God. For 90. As I was praying, one morning I woke up to pray, did my quiet time, then I put Bishop Dad's message and I slept. In the dream, he came. Morning hours. And he said, Jimmy, I'm coming to your church. Then I woke up. Then I went to the office. Same day, I went to the office. So I was calling the agents. I was organizing my ticket to go to America. Then I left the office. The office was deep because if you don't own the land, you can't sometimes have the office where. So the office was also different. So I went back to church. While I was in the church, my secretary called me and said, Bishop Dad's office has called. They want to talk to you. Same day. So I said, hey, let me come. So we called. I think it was Serena. Then it's Serena. Serena. She said to me, Bishop is coming to Kenya. And he wants to come to your church. So, but don't worry if you have other arrangements. I said, what? What other arrangements? I said, if there was any other arrangement, it has been cancelled. You see, but if your father says, I'm coming to you. Oh, Bishop. I'm going to Takra Day, you know. Foolishness has come. Hey! So he came that year, March. When he came, I took him there. Guess what? While we were walking, he said, Jimmy, the amount is too much. Why don't you negotiate lower? And you can remove 100,000 out of the cost that you have. I was like, we have signed the agreement. We have paid 10%. Then I said, So when he starts speaking, I don't argue. I don't say, oh, but we have already signed. So I just listen. I say, He said, no, this is how you do it. You say this. I said, wow. I said, you know what? I'll do it. That was Sunday. Monday, I called my, and he told me how he sent people to negotiate for the Kodesh land. And this is what he told them to go and say to this guy and whatever, I think. Then I called my guys. I said, I will also not go. I'll send people. Everything he was saying, I was not disregarding it. I'm trying to show you that where I am today is not, I have prayed. But I will not say that I had a voice. I would say that my father spoke to me and I regarded his advice and it moved me to the next level. So Monday, Bishop, I call my guys. I say, go and tell the guy that we want to move the thing down to 35 million, which is at the time was, it would have been $100,000 off. They said, he will not accept. He will think we are jokers. I said, look, guys, I'm sending you. Go. Tell him one. To anything. I just repeat, I didn't even come up with something from somewhere. I just said the thing that, and it was just a casual conversation. And I just told him, I told them, go and tell him this. Around 3 p.m., they called me. They said, we have just come from him. You won't believe it. You see? Some things look like magic. Sit down, I tell you. They said, you won't believe it. You know what he said? He said that money, I have removed it and I have given it to your God as an offering. An Indian man. You see, your problem is not demons. Your problem is foolishness. That is why I will not lay hands on you tonight. Tonight we are dealing with foolishness. And my message is entitled, Recognizing a Fool. But I didn't tell you where the fool is. So recognize the fool in you and recognize the fools around you. And this is a sign that there is a fool in you and there is a fool around you. You disregard and despise the instructions of your father. Now, we bought the land. It was a warehouse. So it was half stone and half roofing sheet. We were happy. Every Monday, there were pastors coming to see the building. Yeah, they come on Mondays because it's their resting day. So they don't play golf. So, because, anyway. So, I was happy in our roofing sheet. Half stone, half roofing sheet. We even decided now, we are going to beautify our church. Outside, it will look like roofing sheets. But inside, it will look like stones. So there is another board called gypsum. I don't know whether you have it here. Gypsum. So we were going to put gypsum all around. And we even spent like $20,000 just to put gypsum from one corner at the front to the end. Then Bishop said, I'm coming to Ethiopia. So I said, let me go and be with him in Ethiopia. On the last day, we were having dinner. Then I told him, Daddy. We are beautifying our church. We are now putting gypsum. And he asked Bishop Obi, what is gypsum? And Bishop Obi was trying to explain gypsum is this board. And then he asked me, Pastor Jim, you cannot put one stone on top of another. I did not pray about it. The next morning I was flying to Kenya. It was the longest flight. It's like an hour, but I felt like 3 hours. Why? All my members' faces were coming to me. Because by the time I got to the plane, I had decided I'm going to build. So I took the words that he spoke to me as advice and as God speaking to me. That is how that building is standing there today. From that, Ethiopia. Yeah. By the time I was coming, we have spent $1.5 million debt-free to build that church up to where it is. Debt-free. Out of a conversation with a father. Yeah, look at it. I think I'm going home. I miss my church now. One day I'll also have a carpet like this one. Hey! Yes! With air, no, our air is like conditioned. But we can also receive air conditioned. It could be God speaking to me. Amen? I'm telling you. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, don't disregard the advice, the instructions of your father. Amen. Number 7. I'll give you 10, so don't worry. I have actually 43, but I'll give you 10. A fool is anyone whose conduct does not change even after experiencing painful consequences from it. Do you have those friends who are on a self-destructive mode? They come from this relationship, the man was beating them. Then they go back to this relationship. Then they say, I'm no longer going to be with that man again, I swear. 3 months later, hey, Charlie, you are together. I say, oh, I think he has changed. Then he apologized. Then he beats you again. Then you come crying, Master, look at my eye. Look at my eye. Look at my ear. He beat my ear. Then painful experiences. Hey, but you keep going back to them. The Bible calls you not demon possessed, a fool. Not demon. You are even here on Tuesday. You're praying, car. You vibrate like a tractor. Kajada, kajada, kajada. But all your decisions of investments are wrong. It does not change you. The pain does not change you. The Bible calls you a fool. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 10. I would like to read this one in New Living Translation. I think I would like to read it with you. So I'm waiting for you to finish your notes so that you can look up. Look up. There's a TV station called Look Up TV in Kenya. Look up. So are you there? The Bible says a single rebuke does more for a person of understanding than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. You are not reading. Am I preaching to the real people here? Am I preaching to wise people here?
Yes.
Then why are you not reading? Can you open your mouth? Let's read one more time. A single rebuke. Than 100 lashes on the back of a fool. We keep correcting you, but nothing. You don't change. We give you 100 lashes, but you have not changed. It's because a fool is anyone who conducts, whose conduct does not change even after experiencing painful consequences. Number 8. A fool is anyone who considers any pursuit of wisdom to be a wasted effort. I mean, there is, give thyself wholly here, you will not appear. You will not appear. Because a fool is anyone who considers any pursuit of wisdom to be a wasted effort. Proverbs 17 verse 16. Now let me give you a story of my life. Any pursuit of wisdom, you don't see it as anything. You don't consider it as important. So you don't read books. Number one. You don't attend services. You don't come for conferences. I mean, we have. How can you be called to come for conference? Hello? Hello? Kweku? Kweku? Where are you? Are you not coming for the conference? The bus is waiting. Oh, I'm not well. You are a fool. You see, when you're in a church like this, you might be thinking that our need is for you to come and fill the church. But what the pastors want you to have is knowledge. Is wisdom. That is why they're bringing you to church. Some of you, you think, oh, they want our offerings. They want our... What offering do you have? How much money do you have? Can your money even pay for 1 minute of air conditioning in the church? 1 minute of air conditioning in the church. You see, you are a fool. Your thinking is low. And where... So they say where superstition is high, thinking is low. The church is quiet. I really thought that I'm in the place of knowledge. Am I in the place of knowledge? Because you have a very intelligent bishop. You have a very intelligent bishop. I was telling him I like the way he explains scriptures. I like the way he brings out the word. I mean, when I look at him preaching, I wonder, Lord, what did I do? Where did I go wrong? Why can't you give me a little bit of this gift of this man? I'm serious, by the way. When he preaches, you're a pastor. But you see, when you have it, you don't think it's important. Because a fool, what does he do? A fool. Huh? He considers any pursuit of wisdom or knowledge as a waste of time. That's why you have to call your uncle in UK and say, Uncle, Nana. Uncle Nana? Oh, Uncle Nana, how are you? God bless you. Oh, yes. You have not sent us anything. Oh, Uncle Nana. Oh, when you meet Bishop, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. When you meet Bishop, you say, Bishop. Because there is something you want from him. Rather than coming and saying, Bishop, I've come to... You see, when you are a man of wisdom, a man of knowledge, you understand that it is not Bishop that needs you. It is you that needs Bishop. And you don't need money from Bishop. You need wisdom and anointing from Bishop. Oh, I feel like preaching in here. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, from today... I will pursue. I will go after wisdom. Hey! Say I'm a lover. Say I'm a lover of wisdom, of knowledge. I run after it. I seek for it. I look for it. Hey. Look at your neighbor who's seated and say, my neighbor. Hey. Let me not deal with these guys who are seated. Sit down. The chairman, the governors in the church. Sit down. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. You seek for wisdom. You look for it. A man who is after wisdom does not care what time, you know, the service starts. They are there early. It's a sign that you are hungry for knowledge. You are hungry for wisdom. When they call you, say, oh, today I found my way into the church. You have been blessed for 1 year. 1 year. They are still calling you. Brother, coffee, wake up. Kweku. Yeah, the bus is ready. Oh, am I ironing my clothes? I have a prediction for you. You are most likely going to be poor for the rest of your life. You must change because prosperity. Remember Psalms chapter 1 verse 3. It says this person who's a wise man, who meditates on the word of God day and night, this person, he has changed his friends. He has changed the one he walks with, the one he sits with, and the one he stands with. The Bible says, this man shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and he shall bring forth fruit in its season. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A man who's not a fool is a man who pursues wisdom. Oh yes. One time, sit down, I give you a story. I don't know whether you would like to hear my story. This is how I came to meet Bishop Dad. Somebody gave me an audio CD. And I put it in my car. So I was listening as I'm driving. At some point, I felt that the wisdom that is coming from this CD is too much. I parked the car. For the first time, I called the person who gave me the CD. And I said, who is this? No, it was a young girl, yeah. He said, if that is a bishop from Ghana, he's called Bishop Dad. And where can I find his material? Then she said, he has a church in this area. An area where I knew. I said, okay, I turned. That moment, I turned. I started driving towards the church. Pursuing. I went. I drove straight into the church. I said, I've come to check what you have in your bookshop. So I entered the bookshop. I saw books. I was going for CD, so I saw books. I said, hey. The books were all about church administration. So I don't know what anointing. All the books, there were, at that time, I think there were like 29 books. At the time, I think. And then I said, give me all these books. So that's when they said, okay, let's go. We found a lady called Pastor Rita. And she had put them in, wrapped them in groups like this, like small, all of them. I said, all this, how much? She gave me a figure. I ran downstairs. I had my personal checkbook. I removed it because I didn't have cash. I said, can you take the check, please? He said, okay. So I wrote the check. I said, it will not bounce. Because it was the first time that she had seen me. She said, okay. Then I carried the books into my car. Then the next morning, I went to my office with the books. I arranged them next to me like this. So I used to turn, because the church has just begun. I had a swinging chair. So I would swing. I see, I don't know church administration. I have never administered any church. I pull church administration. So I read. And then I call my wife. She was my administrator. I say, from now on, all money must be banked. From now on, do this. Wisdom was coming alive in me. Then, one of the days I turned like this, I saw the mega church. I said, is this not what I'm trying to do? I pulled the book. I started reading. At the time, our membership was 68. Then, while I was at the bookshop, I asked, what is this? I saw a poster, iron sharpens iron. Then I said, I will go for this meeting. I'll go for this meeting in Ghana. It was just a few months. By the time I was coming for the meeting, the church had already hit 200. Wow. So I brought myself here. I booked myself in a hotel. I just looked which hotel is near Kodesh. I booked. So I used to come out of the hotel, enter a taxi, go to the sanctuary. When I get there, it is full. I sit at Adelaide Chapel. Okay? I think the first night or the second night, I was at Adelaide Chapel, watching from a screen. From Kenya. As I was listening, I was enjoying the wisdom. He was speaking about the anointing. And I think Aspasians, the accuser. As he was preaching about it, the next thing I found myself under the seat. Mucus were coming out. Tears were coming out. When I stood up like this, I had a voice. And it's not a joke. I had a voice saying, from today, you can teach. Am I not teaching? Am I not teaching? Am I not teaching? That is how camps began in my church. That's how camps began in our church. Yeah, I can do camps. Me, I don't even enjoy Sunday service. I enjoy camps. Because I can be preaching from morning. They have to tell me, okay, it's lunch. And I say, okay, let's go for lunch. And now, when I finish preaching, I feel tired. When I come back and I pick the microphone, it's like I've just woken up. Because it's an anointing. Yeah. You are in it. You are in the oil. But you have to be called to come to church. I want to tell you who you are. I want to give you a disclaimer. Stretch your anger. Don't be angry at once when I tell you who you are. Anybody who does not pursue knowledge and wisdom and sees it as a waste of time, that person, are you stretching your anger? Stretch it. Tell your neighbor, stretch your anger. Don't be angry. Tell them, you are a fool. Yeah. Oh, I said a fool. Says, look at the Bible. Did I give you a scripture? Proverbs 17:16. Look at it. The Bible says, look, that's when I started teaching. Our church on Sunday, by 12, the doors were closed. The doors were closed. We were out. We were going for lunch. All of us. I have come here to this country for, our church is 15 years old. I've come to this church, to Ghana for Iron Shepherds for 14 years. 14 years. What do I don't come to preach. Actually, at a point, I even told Bishop Eddie, I don't want to be preaching on Sunday when I come for give thyself. I want to be going where Bishop is. If he's at first love, I want to just go there and see. He's the one who told me, no, he starts preaching late, so please just come. So I came. Otherwise, I don't come to preach. I come to seek wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. What manner of wisdom is this? What manner of wisdom? What manner of wisdom? That is why I pursue Bishop Eddie. I say, Bishop, you don't have to come and preach. Just come and be with me. We will eat. We will play. We will laugh. And what was the other thing? And rest. I'm just using the little wisdom that God has given to me. Because while I'm playing with Him, He's teaching me things. He's sharing something. Oh, yes. Because if you have been close, if I can't get to the prophet, I mean, get the person who has been close to the prophet. But you see, your wisdom does not even tell you that you are in a church where there is somebody who has been in the presence of the prophet for this number of years. Yeah. You just say, all the time he comes. All the time, I don't know. Come, again. You're just behaving. I'm even annoyed. I've just gone. Where's my driver? I'm annoyed. Because you don't like wisdom. You don't like wisdom. And you see, the problem is not the devil. That's what I wanted to share with you. The problem is that you have not become wise. As I'm in the presence of the anointed, I don't think about what is he going to give me? What is he going to give me? Will he support me? Will he give me something? Will he give me some money for my tithes? Will he give me this and that? No. rather when I'm in the presence of wisdom, I wonder, how can I even sow a seed into the life of this man so that what is on him can jump on me so that I can do what he's doing or even more. So you can be a pastor, even in UD, but you don't, instead of seeing anointing and wisdom and knowledge, you see, why are they eating everything? Why can't they just throw something to us? Rather than seeing that this is such an anointing, if I can get the anointing, I will do what he has done and even more. Oh yes! Let me tell you something. Anyway, I'll tell you tomorrow that one. No, that one I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm serious. Because it will help you. Amen? Beautiful. Number 9. Last but one. But let's read the scripture first so that you don't say he's just giving us his own ideas. 17:16. Wherefore, is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? He has no heart for the wisdom. So there is no... Change the version. It is senseless to pay to educate a fool, since he has no heart for learning. He has no heart for what? For learning. No. So it is senseless to pay to educate a fool. Number 9. A fool is anyone who continually expresses his discontent with God. A fool is someone who continuously expresses his discontent with God. Oh God, you don't love me. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Oh God, you are not there. Oh Lord, you have cast me. The Bible calls such a person a fool. Proverbs 19 verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Always, oh God, you don't love me. Why am I going through with it? You are always complaining about to God. Always. You have no thankfulness in your heart. Your heart is full of complaining. The Bible calls you a fool. Somebody say a fool. Let me finish with this one. A fool is any man who spends more money than he's willing to earn. For his family. A fool is any man who spends more money than he's willing to earn. Proverbs 21 verse 20. You spend everything. A fool is anyone who spends money, all the money that is, and you're not willing to earn it. Proverbs 21:20. Can we go there? There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Change the version. Do you have the Passion Bible? The wise have wealth and luxury. Okay. In wisdom's house, you'll find delightful treasures and the oil of the Holy Spirit. But the stupid squander what they have been given. So when you have been given something, you eat all of it. You finish. It is a sign that you are a fool. New Living Translation. New Living Translation. The wise have wealth and luxury. But fools spend whatever they get. Oh, Charlie, it is hard, oh. There is no money, oh. Hey. Kweku. The dollar is high, oh. While you are complaining about it, people are buying new cars. Because, give me the scripture again. The wise have wealth and luxury. Oh, these guys, they are enjoying, oh. It is because of wisdom. A wise person does not, you will never know whether it is hard economic times, COVID times. You don't know. That is why I believe in the wisdom of this house. Because during COVID-19, your church did not collapse. You actually built more churches. That tells you a wise man is in power. Churches where fools were in control, they are no more. Because once money comes, they spend. Somebody say, you have to do this. That means I've spent everything. Yeah. No tithe. If you can't pay tithes because of your. I don't need to tell you who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to the conclusion that I shall never be a fool. I love the word of God because the word of God makes me wiser and wiser. The Bible says, oh, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, the Bible says, the word of God is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So as long as I am in the word, I'll be wise. Let me try this side. As long as I'm in the word, I'll be what? Wise. The Bible says the path of the just. What happened to the path of the just? It shines brighter and brighter and brighter. And I'm here to prophesy to you, Makarios. I see you coming out of the camp of the foolish. No, I don't like your amen. When you come out of that camp, guess what? The Bible says the house of the wise is full of wealth and luxury. The house of the wealthy is full of wealth and luxury. So I feel like I should leave the camp of the fools. No, oh, I don't know whether I'm in the right place. Somebody needs to say, I'm coming out of the house of the company of the foolish, and I'm joining myself with the wise. And guess what? In season and out of season, my leaves and my tree will bear fruit. If you're the one that I'm talking about, shout yes. Shout yeah, yeah, yeah. The Bible says, whatever I do, I shall prosper. Say, I'm coming out of the beggar's club, of the poor club, of the tail club, and I'm joining. Say, I'm joining the wise, the prosperous, the wealthy, the rich, the knowledgeable. And if you believe it, I want you to shout, yes. I want you to look for five people and tell them, I'm coming out from the foolish club to the wise. Yes, 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 yes. 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 I'm no longer a fool. I'm in the class of the wise. Tell your neighbor, you are my witness. One of these days, by wisdom, you will be driving your own car. I see you reversing your nice Escalade. Yeah, a luxury car. I see you go, you know, when you are driving a nice car, you don't need somebody to be telling you, come, 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 come. You don't need somebody to tell you, come, come. Hey, pa, 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 pa. No. The camera on your screen is 4K. It's 8K. The whole car tells you, check your surrounding. And you just reverse and you are not even, you know, some people, in our country, some people, they roll down the window, then they remove their head. Somebody say, I'm coming out. I'm entering the prosperous circle, the wealth circle, the luxurious circle. Not many days from now, you will tell your pastor, Papa, come and dedicate my house. Papa, come and dedicate my house. Why? I left the club of the fools. I'm no longer a fool. Somebody needs to say, hey. I see your boss telling you something is different about you. I see your father telling you something is different about you. I see your bishop saying something is different about you. Why? Because you are climbing 7 steps higher. Because you are leaving the club of... Shout yeah! Shout yeah, 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 yeah.
You are entering the zone of the luxurious. There will be luxury in your house. You will drive luxury cars. Do you know luxury cars? Nobody will tell you. Master, 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 small, small, small. Hey! You have 4K screen. Wide screen. You know, luxury cars, they say that you lie in it, you don't drive it. That means that you have a car with a driver. Because the part, you know, when you are the driver, your screen, like if you have a video screen, it goes off automatically because they don't want you to have an accident. So if you are the driver, you don't really enjoy. It's like, because the car is always moving, you can't see some of the things that can be shown in the car. But when you are at the back, like you lie in the car, you can be pressing, 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 changing, changing, talking, talking, enjoying the luxury car. Receive your luxury car. Receive your luxury car. Hey! This is too much. What? You know, when I was looking at him at a point, I was just crying because I was so overwhelmed with emotion, with the truth being lived out. You see, that the truth he's preaching, he's living it out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like, it's not something that, when I was just overwhelmed that, wow, the truth is true and it works power. Too powerful. And I think that this message, you see, if you want to come out of that, you see, before this time, I was sharing with you four groups of people that are very important for you to understand in the service. Because what is going to be preached today, you need to be in the fourth category so that you can really benefit from this message. And this message is a type of message that you play like about 77 times. Yeah, you play it about 77 times. Then the word will enter you. And then you start to live it out. Because what he's saying there is a doing word. It's not a word to just, we're very happy and blessed, but it's a doing word. Every point is something to do. You know, and most of us, when we get to the place of doing, that's where the challenge is. And when you don't do the word, you will not experience what he's preaching. That the home or the house of the wise is full of luxury, wealth and luxury. I mean, and it's true. You see the people who are wise in this world, they are full of riches and luxury. Their cars are not pushed. Up to today, they have to, sometimes they have to jump. Your car will have to go and park by somebody, or somebody has to bring his car. Then they use cables to jump start. Then they start them, because your even your battery, you see, is dying on a daily basis. Hey, there are cars. It tells you your tire pressure is 35. This one is 35. This one is 35. This one is 28. It means that you have to fill air. You'll be going, master, stop. Flat tire, flat. No, nobody, look, nobody will tell you again that you have a flat tire. Or if they want to steal your bag, they will tell you on this side, excuse me, there's a, your flat tire. So when you look here, then they remove your bag from here. It's because of the car you are using. When somebody tells you flat tire, I say, don't worry, I know. I've seen it on the screen. I've seen it already. You can't be here when they are talking. It's like, excuse me, eh? He said what? It's okay. Noise cancellation. Pastor Jimmy, you are a very nice preacher. Oh. You see? And with this, tomorrow evening, 4:30, he will be here for branches. But in the morning, second service, he will be here to preach. Before he preaches again in the evening. And there will be some of you standing here. You will not come. It's a prophetic word. And the reason is because you still remain. But if you allow this word to have free course in your life, there will be nobody here in this room who will say that tomorrow, even if somebody has died, I am not going. And if somebody is dying, let the dead bury their dead. Let me go and receive some wisdom for my life, for my ministry, for my church, for my life, for my business, for my finances. Hey! What are you talking about? I mean, in a meeting like this, will you even be short of direction for prosperity? It's amazing. It's like whatever you need to prosper has been given. Because your blessedness is based. Talk, please. Preach.
Tomorrow.
There are 43 points. Yes.
Yeah. No, I wanted to tell them tomorrow I'll give you. I want to talk about the wisdom of the seed.
Hey.
With personal testimonies on how God can prosper you through the mystery of the seed. So I'll start in the morning then. finish in the evening because I have like
58 points. Please put your hands together for Bishop James. Yes. What a blessing. You have really been a great blessing to me. And I know that there's nobody here who has not been affected. We have all been affected by your word.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching from the Vicarious Church headquarters, East Legon Hills, Accra. Stay blessed.
I am waiting.